Our scripture reading this morning will come from three different places in the book of 2 Samuel. Our text focused will be from chapter 19, but in preparation for that, we're going to read a portion of chapter 2, a portion of chapter 17, and then 2 Samuel 19. Let's begin in 2 Samuel chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 through 7 of 2 Samuel chapter 2. This is the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Let us pay careful attention to it. In the course of time, David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up to one of the towns of Judah?" he asked. The Lord said, "Go up." David asked, "Where shall I go?" "To Hebron," the Lord answered. So David went up there with his two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David also took the men who were with him, each with his family, and they settled in Hebron and its towns. Then the men of Judah came to Hebron, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. When David was told that it was the men of Jabesh-Gilead who had buried Saul, he sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead to say to them, "The Lord bless you for showing this kindness to Saul, your master, by burying him. May the Lord now show you kindness and faithfulness, and I too will show you the same favor because you have done this. Now then, be strong and brave, for Saul, your master, is dead, and the house of Judah has anointed me king over them." Then if you'll turn with me to 2 Samuel 17, verses 27 through 29, 2 Samuel 17, the verses 27 through 29. When David came to Mahanaim, Shobai the son of Nahash from Rabbah of the Ammonites, and Machir, son of Amiel, from Lo-Debar, and Barzillai the Gileadite from Rogalim, brought bedding and bowls and articles of pottery. They also brought wheat and barley, flour and roasted grain, beans and lentils, honey and curds, sheep and cheese from cow's milk, for David and his people to eat. For they said, "The people have become hungry and tired and thirsty in the desert." And then if you'll turn with me to 2 Samuel 19, we'll read the verses 31 through 40. 2 Samuel 19, the verses 31 through 40. Barzillai the Gileadite also came down from Rogalim to cross the Jordan with the king and to send him on his way from there. Now Barzillai was a very old man, 80 years of age. He had provided for the king during his stay in Mahanaim, for he was a very wealthy man. The king said to Barzillai, "Cross over with me and stay with me in Jerusalem, and I will provide for you." But Barzillai answered the king, "How many more years will I live that I should go up to Jerusalem with the king? I am now 80 years old. Can I tell the difference between what is good and what is not? Can your servant taste what he eats and drinks? Can I hear the voices of men and women singers? Why should your servant be an added burden to my lord the king? Your servant will cross over the Jordan with the king for a short distance, but why should the king reward me in this way? Let your servant return, that I may die in my own town near the tomb of my father and mother. But here is your servant Kimham. Let him cross over with my lord the king. Do for him whatever pleases you." The king said, "Kimham shall cross over with me, and I will do for him whatever pleases you. And anything you desire from me, I will do for you." So all the people crossed the Jordan, and then the king crossed over. The king kissed Barzillai and gave him his blessing, and Barzillai returned to his home. When the king crossed over to Gilgal, Kimham crossed with him. All the troops of Judah and half the troops of Israel had taken the king over. That's the reading of God's word this morning. On October 31, 1517, this same date in history, Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the church door in Wittenberg, Germany, and started what we now know as the Reformation. There are many who say, or who I've heard say, that the Reformation is about being saved by grace and not works. Well, that's true, but not exactly true. In the Catholic religion of Martin Luther's day, and even of our day, there is still grace in salvation. But the works that you do are rewarded by grace. You cannot be saved by your works. There still needs to be grace. But in Martin Luther's day, they purchased indulgences because their relatives were stuck in what they said was purgatory. And if the indulgences were purchased, grace would be given to the dead relative to enter into heaven. In the Catholic Church of our day, they have their seven sacraments. And as a believer or a Catholic Church member continues to live their life and partake of all those seven sacraments, more and more grace is given to them so that they can die with enough grace to go to heaven. Grace and works. How are we to understand the relationship between grace and works? What does it mean to be saved by faith? Why did we read the law this morning as a part of our worship service? Why do we say as Christians, as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper, that we must reflect upon our life and how we are living before God before we partake of that supper? Does it mean that we are saved by works or grace? Barzillai, the man in our text, is a perfect biblical example of someone who understands the right relationship of grace and works. In the introduction to our text, verse 31 of chapter 19, Barzillai, we're told, is a Gileadite who also came down from Rogalim. Rogalim was a city near the city of Jabesh-Gilead, the capital of the Gilead region. The Gileadites have a history in the book of Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 11, the Gileadites are surrounded by the Ammonites, and King Saul, who has been anointed king but is not yet king, hears of the plight of the Gileadites, and he organizes an army in Israel, and the army comes and rescues the city of Jabesh-Gilead. The citizens of Gilead, because of what Saul has done for them, are pro-King Saul. When King Saul dies at the hands of the Philistines at the end of 1 Samuel, the citizens of Jabesh-Gilead go and they take down Saul's body, stealing through the Philistine lines, and give him a proper burial. When David is anointed king over Judah, he knows what the citizens of Jabesh-Gilead have done. He knows that they are aware that it was King Saul who went out into the wilderness and was trying to kill David. And when David is anointed king over the house of Judah in 2 Samuel chapter 2, David has a decision to make. Will he say to the citizens of Jabesh-Gilead, choose this day whom you shall serve? Will he threaten them in order to secure his kingdom? Will you follow me or the house of Saul? David knows that Saul's commander, Abner, has set up a son of Saul in the same region, in the city of Mahanaim, as a threat, as a challenge to David's throne. Yet David does not respond that way. For in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, we read this. When David was told that it was the men of Jabesh-Gilead who had buried Saul, he sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead to say to them, the Lord bless you for showing this kindness to Saul your master by burying him. May the Lord now show you kindness and faithfulness, and I too will show you the same favor because you have done this. David doesn't threaten them. David doesn't say, serve me or serve Saul. If you serve Saul, I'll send my army to destroy you. David commends them for their faithfulness to Israel's first king. David promises them in verse 6 that the Lord will show them covenant kindness, undeserving covenant kindness and the faithfulness of God, which will come to them through God's king, which is David. Barzillai, we were told in our text, is an old man. He's 80 years old. He's older than David himself. Barzillai remembers these events. He remembers the days of Saul. He remembers David's ascension to the throne. He remembers the covenant kindness of David that was expressed to him. You see, Barzillai in our text has experienced the undeserving grace of God. The undeserving grace of God that has come from heaven through God's King to him. He understands covenant kindness. He understands what it means to be faithful to God and have God be faithful to him. In 2 Samuel chapter 17, God gives him an opportunity to show it. In 2 Samuel chapter 17, there are different events taking place in the land of Gilead. King David has been forced to flee Jerusalem, flee for his life from his very own son. He has walked barefoot up the Mount of Olives. He has been sent a secret message that he should flee across the Jordan River and leave the promised land, lest his son Absalom and his army come out to destroy him. David sets up his home, his place of residence in Mahanaim, the same city where Abner had set up the son of Saul, Ishbosheth, in 2 Samuel 2. This would be a perfect opportunity for the Gileadites to rebel against Israel, to once again be faithful to the house of Saul. But Barzillai sees what has happened to God's king. He sees him at his point of weakness in 2 Samuel 17, and Barzillai has an opportunity to express his thankfulness for the undeserving grace of God that has come to him through God's king. He and two others go to Mahanaim where David is, and they bring him bedding and bowls and articles of pottery. They bring wheat and barley, flour and roasted grain, beans and lentils, honey and curds, sheep and cheese from cow's milk, overwhelming blessings that he demonstrates to David by giving these to him his understanding of God's undeserving grace, which has come to him through God's King. These works are not done for Barzillai's salvation. These works are in response to the grace that God has shown him through his King. But now, as we come to 2 Samuel chapter 19, Barzillai returns to our story. This time, Barzillai is going to see David as David is returning to Jerusalem. At this time in our story, Absalom is dead. The army of Israel has been defeated by the troops faithful to David. David is now preparing to return to Jerusalem. And as he goes down to the Jordan River, once again to enter the promised land, Barzillai the Gileadite came down to see him. We're told he's 80 years of age. The text tells us in verse 32, he is described as a very old man. He makes the trip from Rogelim down to the Jordan to make sure, verse 31, that the king will be sent safely on his way. Some of our translations describe it that he is escorting the king to make sure that the king returns safely to the Jordan and to the promised land. Clearly, Barzillai has demonstrated a love for God as it is expressed to God's King. His love for God is expressed as he loves the King. And he is making sure that God's King safely returns to the promised land. The king sees this. And in verse 33, we're told that he said to Barzillai, "Cross over with me and stay with me in Jerusalem, and I will provide for you." The Hebrew word is the same from verse 32 through 33. In verse 32, we're told that Barzillai was there and he had provided for the king during his stay in Mahanaim. Now, in verse 33, we're told that as our Barzillai goes to the Jordan, David wants to return the favor. "You provided for me, now come to Jerusalem, and I will provide for you." But Barzillai understands that this is not how it works in God's salvation. In verse 36, he tells David, "Why should the king reward me this way?" "What do you mean, reward me?" is your question. Look at Barzillai's answer in verse 34. "How many more years do I have to live that I should go to Jerusalem with the king? I am now 80 years old. Can I tell the difference between what is good and what is not? If he went to Jerusalem, he would serve in the court of the king. One of the duties of those in the court of the king would be to discern what is good and what is not. I can't do that anymore," he tells David. He goes on to say, "Can your servant taste what he eats and drinks? Can I enjoy the pleasures of delicious food and drink in the palace of the king anymore? Not at my age. Can I still hear the voices of men and women singers, that glorious music that is reserved only for the king and his court? No, not at my age. Why should your servant be an added burden to my lord the king?" Barzillai understands the grace of God and how his love and the works he does flows out of that grace because he loves God and he loves God's king. He did not bring all of these supplies to Mahanaim and sustain the king because he wanted a reward. He expected nothing and wants nothing because of what he has done. The last thing he wants to do, the end of verse 35, is to be a burden to the king. To take away from the king's work. Because the king is concerned about him. His role before God was to serve the king, was to sustain the king, was to preserve the king's life so he could continue to be a blessing to the people, God's people. He wants no reward. He wants to be no burden. He only wants to continue to serve. What do you mean? Verse 36. Your servant will cross over the Jordan with the king for a short distance. I'll go with you for a ways. But, verse 37, let your servant return that I may die in my own town near the tomb of my father and mother. He wants no part of a reward or of the pleasures of this world. All he wants was to serve God and to serve the king. And God has used him in a powerful way to preserve the life of the king. God gave him an opportunity to show his understanding of God's grace, his undeserving grace that has been bestowed to him by bringing to David those supplies. And now that the king is ready and prepared to once again cross the Jordan and return to the throne in Jerusalem, his job is done. Let me go home to my town near the tomb of my father and mother. I want no reward. I want no praise. I want no material earthly blessings. I only want to serve God and serve the king, the things that I do which flow out of my understanding of God's grace, undeserving grace that was given to me. In fact, if anyone is going to go to Jerusalem, he will go to serve. In verse 37, he tells David, let your servant return. As you work your way through that verse, you come halfway through and it says, but here is your servant, Kimham. Let him cross over with my lord the king. Do for him whatever pleases you. Later on, as David is on his deathbed, speaking to Solomon, giving him his final instructions in 1 Kings chapter 2, he tells Solomon this in verse 7, but show kindness, covenant kindness, to the sons of Barzillai of Gilead, and let them be among those who eat at your table. They stood by me when I fled from your brother Absalom. These are sons of Barzillai that will eat at the king's table for generations following David's death. No doubt, Kimham is one of those sons. But Barzillai does not mention him as a son. Barzillai cannot go to Jerusalem and serve the king. He claims he is too old. He tells David in verse 37, let your servant, I'm your servant, David, return. And instead of calling Kimham his son, he said, but here is your servant, Kimham. let him cross over to the land with my lord the king, and do for him whatever pleases you. The king said, Kimham shall cross over with me, and I will do for him whatever pleases you, and anything you desire from me, I will do for you. So all the people crossed the Jordan, and then the king crossed over, and the king kissed Barzillai and gave him his blessing, and Barzillai returned to his home. Barzillai understood the relationship of grace and works. Barzillai understand God's undeserving grace. Barzillai understood that as he returned his life of service to God and the king, there was no reward for what he was doing. He did it because he loved God and he loved the king. And as he departs back to his home, as this servant of God returns, David, God's king, kisses him and gives him God's blessing for his faithful service to the king. Now there are some who, in the context of this passage, are questioning whether David understands this. Because when David, when Barzillai said to David, do for him whatever pleases you, David responds, I will do for him whatever pleases you. Is David doing this? Is he offering this as a reward? There are others who say that perhaps David, in the context of our passage, is making this move for political purposes. He has sealed early on the tribe of Benjamin by forgiving Shimei. He grants grace to Mephibosheth. And now he's securing another area, once faithful to Saul, by trying to bring Barzillai on to his court. We're not sure. But one thing is very clear. Barzillai understands it. He understands his role before God. He understands the undeserving grace of God. He understands the role of works in his Christian life. God has given to us a king. God has given to us in Jesus Christ a king who has blessed us with his undeserving grace. The Son of God came down to earth and died on the cross and paid for our sins. The Son of God has resurrected from the grave. His undeserving grace is poured out to God's people. And as God's people, we have experienced that grace as we live our lives and understand that grace which has been given to us. How do we respond? In Martin Luther's day, the Catholic Church was teaching you have to do something to receive that grace. There are many today, many Christians who continue to have this mixed up, maybe not doctrinally, but in their life and in their practical way of working it out. They do things for God because then perhaps God will reward them. But Barzillai clearly understood. He understood God's undeserving grace. He expressed his understanding of that grace through his love for God and love for the king by what he did. And when David tried to give him a reward, he said, no, I am God's servant and your servant. God's given you grace in Jesus Christ. He gives you opportunities to serve Him. He gives you opportunities through worship and praise to give glory to Him, to show your thankfulness to Him. Not because if you go to church, good things will happen to you, but because you love Him. God's given you opportunities to give to Him financially, to serve in the church. God has given you opportunities to write cards and encouraging words to those in need, to fellow brothers and sisters, because as you express your love to God's people, you show your love to God and His King. Barzillai understood this. What about you? Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you, O God, for the glorious truths we have in Scripture concerning grace and works. We are thankful for this faithful saint who served you and your King not for a reward, an earthly reward, but because he loved the King, because he loved you, he died in peace and went to you. Lord, may we have this same humble attitude. May we understand clearly what our Savior did for us on the cross. May we recognize it as undeserving. May you enable us through opportunities to express our understanding of it through our works, by how we treat others, by how we live, by the way the law is reflected in our life, not for the earthly reward, but because we love you and your King. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.